Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Romans. I'm just kidding. I can't believe nobody even batted an eye at me saying that. I've been saying that for a year now, and we finished. And I'm just kidding. Turn to Psalm 100. There's no doubt about that. Now, don't think we couldn't start over and do it all again and get more out of it. Don't think that, for sure. But I thought surely if I said, turn to the book of Romans, somebody would look up and think, what in the world? But Psalm chapter 100 tonight. And had this little short psalm on my heart. And want to give you a few thoughts out of it with the Lord's help tonight. And I'm certain that we could probably all, at least if we get started on it, somebody help me get us started, we could probably all quote this from heart. And I tell you, an interesting thing about Psalm 100 is that Psalm 100, you notice the title of the psalms, and it says Psalm under Psalm 100, a psalm of praise. And it's interesting that Psalm 100 is the only psalm out of the 150 that is noted as a specific, explicitly noted as a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. Though many of the psalms are psalms of praise and thanksgiving, it's the only one that's explicitly noted as that. And that's a little interesting, but I want to give you some thoughts out of this with the week and the time of the year in mind, and pray that it'll be a blessing and help to all of us tonight out of Psalm 100, verse 1. He says, David says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Psalm chapter 100 is just a short little psalm, and it certainly is not hard to analyze as you look at it. It's just as the title describes, it is a psalm of praise and a psalm of thanksgiving. That word thanks and thanksgiving is used down through this little five-verse psalm, and it's not hard to understand, it's not hard to analyze. Psalm chapter 100 contains four elements or four imperatives. Number one, it contains a statement of how to give thanks to the Lord. And then number two, it contains an explanation of why God's people should give thanks to the Lord. Number three, it contains an invitation to give thanks unto the Lord. He invites His people, invites, as a matter of fact, all ye lands, he says, to give thanks unto the Lord and to praise the Lord. And then number four, it gives a final great expression of praise, of thanksgiving. In other words, he gives somewhat of an illustration. He says in verse 5, the very last verse, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth for all generations." He just illustrates the truths of going beyond, you know, the how and the why. But he says, listen, if you can't do it for any other reason, do it for these reasons. His mercies are everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. And so Psalm chapter 100 is certainly a psalm of praise, and it's certainly a great psalm for this time of the year, isn't it? He talks about praising the Lord and talks about making a joyful noise unto the Lord and talks about being thankful and having a heart of thanksgiving and serving the Lord with gladness. And you know, that is the way we ought to serve the Lord. We ought to be praising Him. We ought to be making a joyful noise. We ought to be thankful, and we ought to serve Him with gladness. Amen? Isn't it sad to see so many people serve Him so begrudgingly when all through the Psalms he talks about, you see the joy and the peace and the great things that God gives the servants of Him, those that serve Him and His children. And so, thank the Lord for this psalm of praise. And if I was to title the message tonight, I would title it as it's titled in the Bible, a psalm of praise. A psalm of praise. And I want to look at three different things and just kind of go down through here and point out a few things very quickly. And we'll go tonight. But number one, I want you to notice the explanation in verse number one and verse number two. He says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." He says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." There's an explanation in those two verses. In other words, he is explaining how to give God thanks. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in a position in my life many times, and I'm sure we all have, where somebody's done something for us, and they've been a blessing to us, and what that always tends to make me want to do is be a blessing back to them, or be a blessing to somebody else. It just, anytime somebody's a blessing to me, it just makes me want to be a blessing. It makes me want to return the favor. You know, I told Brother Jamie the other day, with them coming and helping us and being a blessing to us, I told him, I said, "Brother, next time you do this for somebody else, you let me know, because if I can turn loose and travel with y'all or go with y'all wherever you go, I want to help do this for somebody else because it's such a blessing to me." Amen. And have you experienced that where somebody's done something for you, they've given something to you, and you just feel the, not necessarily the burden, but you feel the compulsion to want to pay it back, not to necessarily even the score, but they've been a blessing to you, so you want to be a blessing to them, and you want to be a blessing to somebody else because you know how it makes you feel. And you know, we really, if there's anybody we ought to be that way towards, it ought to be the Lord. Isn't that right? Because who's blessed us more than Him? And who's done more for us than Him? And who's given to us more than Him? Amen? I mean, the Lord has been good to us, and He's taken care of us and met our needs. And my word, He's provided Jesus. Amen? He's given us the best that He had to offer. And He gave us, you know, not asking anything in return. We had nothing to give. And yet He's been so good to us. And so it begs the question, what could I possibly do to give back to the Lord? You know, that ought to be the mentality of His people, is to desire to give back to Him. And that's what Thanksgiving is all about. The more we think about all that He's done, and the more we think about how He's blessed us and how He's taken care of us and met our needs, and even in our darkest hours, we always find, standing somewhere in the shadows, you find Jesus. And even in our deep valleys, and even in the when the times are hard, we can always find that God always blessed us through it all, and it ought to make us, and matter of fact, it does make us, when we meditate on it, to want to serve Him more and do more for Him because of all He's done for us. But the reality is, there's nothing we can do. Not in our flesh. We had nothing to offer Him when He saved us, and we sure have nothing to offer Him now. Nothing worthy. Nothing, you know, nothing that is, you know, that's on the level that our God is, that would be an acceptable thing. Not in our flesh. There's nothing we could give God. There's nothing we can offer God. But thank the Lord, He has given us an instruction manual. He says, if you want to praise Me, and if you want to honor Me, and if you want to thank Me, and if you want to show Me that you are thankful, here are some things you can do that I will accept. Amen. Isn't it a blessing that God's never called us to do anything that He won't very clearly make a way and show us how to do it and enable us to do it? Amen. Listen, I hear people all the time talk about, you know, they do this, that, or the other for God, but I can't. I can't because of this, or I can't because of that. Listen to me. God's never called anybody to do anything that God won't make a way to get you through. Amen. God will make a way, and He will give you the instructions in His timing, and it may
may not be the way we want it to be, but He will do it every time. And when God calls us to praise Him and calls us to thank Him and offer the sacrifice of our praise, He shows us very explicitly how to do it in a way that will please Him and honor Him. Because do you know, not all praise honors God. And not all worship honors God. You've got to do it His way. You've got to do it God's way if you want it to be accepted. And you've got to do it by faith. Amen. And so we do it by faith. Well, how do we do it by faith? We do it by doing it the way He tells us to do it. By faith, I will praise the Lord and thank the Lord this way, because this is the way. It's not the way I feel like doing it. It's the way He says to do it. And so by faith, I will do it the way He tells me to do it, the way He explained to me to do it, and He'll bless me for it. The explanation. Well, there's three different things outlined here that of the way He explains to return to Him the goodness that He has given to us, the thanks for being so good to us. And the first one is, what can we do to thank the Lord? First of all, we can shout. He says in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That phrase right there, make a joyful noise, literally means to split the ears. That is, with a sound. It means, that is, to shout. That is for an alarm or for joy, to blow an alarm or to cry out as of the sound of alarm or the sound, cry aloud or to cry out with joy. That's what the phrase literally means. As a matter of fact, if you do a study throughout the Bible, that phrase is used a little over 40 times, but it's never used to make a joyful noise anywhere else. In the book of Numbers, whenever He was given some of those laws and telling them what to do and what not to do, whenever He talked about sounding an alarm, it's the same thing used right there in Psalms 100 for make a joyful noise. Other places it's talking about, it uses the word to cry out or to shout or different things. But right here He says to make a joyful noise. And He's speaking of being noisy. When He says make a joyful noise, be noisy. Amen? And that is a command. And that is the explanation of how I can thank the Lord. Listen, if you want things to be quiet, you better just enjoy it down here before you get up there, because it's not going to be this way up there. Amen? Listen, it will be loud. There will be shouts. There will be singing. There will be rejoicing. And heaven's not going to be quiet. Amen? Heaven's going to be a loud place. As a matter of fact, you read the book of the Revelation, He talks about the thousands and thousands and all the thousands, you know, the innumerable a crowd that is going to be singing loudly His praises. Amen. And so down here, before we get there, we can thank Him His way by shouting. By the way, that's why I'm for old-fashioned worship. Amen. I'm for saying amen. And I'm for saying hallelujah. And I'm for saying praise the Lord. And I'm for doing all that. I am for it. Amen. And the only ones that are uncomfortable with it are the ones that don't like it. Amen. I like it because it's biblical to do it. Amen. It's biblical. Charles Spurgeon said this about this verse. He said, our happy God should be worshipped by a happy people. A cheerful spirit is in keeping with His nature, His acts, and the gratitude which we should cherish for His mercies. Amen. And so that's why God's people, listen, if you're right with God, you ought to always testify when you get an opportunity to testify. And you ought to say amen. And you ought to say hallelujah. And it ought to get all over you every now and then where you can't contain it. And not everybody's the same. And I'm not asking everybody to be like me. And God doesn't expect everybody to be like me. Amen. But it is a fact that a joyful noise is a way to thank the Lord. And shy doesn't count. And quiet doesn't count. Listen, everybody, I don't care how quiet they are, they get stirred up over something. That's it. Yeah, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And everybody gets fired up over something. Listen, the shyest, most backwards people will scream and holler if their team's winning the game. Amen. I've seen them make fools of themselves. The shyest, most backwards people that wouldn't grunt in a church service for a God that's been so good to them. But listen, when their kid's riding in third and they're the winning run, they're screaming like a Comanche Indian. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you want to praise God and thank God His way and be blessed for it, and if you want God to bless you, then bless Him with a joyful noise. We can shout. The second thing is we can serve. He says in, again, verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Then he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, that seems to be the opposite of the average church now. Don't serve the Lord with depression, serve the Lord with gladness. And we're not always on the mountaintop. We understand that. We go through hard times and battles, amen? But listen, the general theme of the Christian life ought to be serving the Lord with gladness, with joy in our heart and peace in our soul, amen? That all of our needs are met, and the needs that aren't met, He's going to meet, amen? Because that is our God, and we can serve the Lord with gladness. That phrase there, serve the Lord with gladness, that serving speaks of bondage. It's a way of describing slavery. In other words, bind yourself to Him and serve Him and do it with gladness. It shows that you're thankful. That's it. In the yoke with the Lord. Paul talked about being a prisoner of Christ, bound to Him. Do you know that nothing says, I love you, Lord, and nothing says, I am thankful for the Lord more than a sold out, bound up life, bound by the Spirit, bound to Christ, bound to the Word of God, bound to the service of God. Nothing says, I am thankful for Jesus saving me more than that. Amen. That's right. And so, serve the Lord with gladness. Bind yourself to Him. That shows that you're thankful. Remember over in Exodus 21, verse number 5 talks, or really that passage there talks about that slave. That if he has a master, and after so many years, he has the option where he can go free. But if that master's given him a wife and children, and you know, home and all these things, if the master's given, then they have to stay. He can still go, but all of that has to stay. Amen. And verse 5 in that passage, that slave can say. He has the option to say. He has the option to go, but he also has the option to say, I love my master. Therefore, I will not go out free. You know what happens then? That master takes him before everybody as a public example and sticks his ear to the post and bores his ear through with an awl, forever marking him and forever binding him in slavery to that master. You know, that's what we are called upon to do. And if you love the Lord and if you're thankful for all that He's done, the least you could do is bind yourself to Him. Amen? The least you could do is let Him mark you. The least you could do is turn loose of everything else. The least you could do is realize all that He's given you. And so let go and cut ties with everything else and just say to Him, I will not go out free. And just bind yourself to Him. That's the way you can say thank you. Another way, and the last one, number 3, is not only can we shout and we can serve, but we can sing. He says in verse 3, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. With singing. I believe that come before His presence with singing because of the context, because of who He's talking to in the setting here. I believe that He's really talking to and referring to our formal worship. Our coming together. And that coming together, that coming before His presence with singing, it begins with the word come. Come. Come together. Come before His presence with singing. And you know, if you want to really thank the Lord and do it His way in a way that's acceptable to Him, put your all into worship. Whenever we have formal worship and whenever you have the opportunity to come together with God's people, put your all into it. Plan for it. Prepare for it. Dress for it. Amen. Listen, lay everything else aside and give God your best in your worship. Amen. If you want to be blessed and if you want to give back something to Him for all that He's done for you and say, Lord, I am thankful for what You have done and who You are, then give Him your best in worship. See, that's why we still believe in the assembly. Amen. That's why I don't believe in internet church and YouTube church and live stream church and TV church. Amen. Listen, we're talking about serving and worshiping the God of heaven, the God of glory, the great I am. And when we think about who we are worshiping and who we're talking about, my goodness, the very least we could do is come. The very least we could do is come. Amen. Come before His presence with singing. Amen. Listen, I wouldn't give a dime for a God that's okay with me sitting in my pajamas drinking coffee at the house. Hadn't even had a bath or fixed my hair. But, you know, He's okay. Listen, a God that's like that, a God that's that casual, a God that is okay with that. Listen, I don't care about that. Amen? Listen, I care about a God who's holy. I want a God who's righteous. I want a God who's powerful. I want a God that causes me to stand in awe. Amen? I want a God that is so big and a God that is so strong and a God that's so mighty that makes me want to do more for Him, that makes me want to try to promote myself to His level and promote my worship to His level instead of bringing Him down to the level of humanity. I want a God that leaves me in awe of Him. And that's a lot of our problem. A lot of the problem with most churches is we've lost our awe of God. And that's it. We don't worship. We don't serve. We don't praise. We don't sing. Because we've lost our awe. And that's what He's talking about whenever He says, come before His presence with singing. He's talking about our worship and giving our all with worship. He's talking about the singing. Whenever we sing in worship, listen, we don't do that just because that's what you do when you worship. We do it as a form of worship. Because that's what the early church did. Because that's what Israel did in the Old Testament. That's what they did at the temple. That's what they did in the synagogue. That's what they did. That's what they did. They sang hymns. They sang praises unto Him. And we don't do it just to go through the motions. And we don't do it just because we know the hymns. And we don't do it just because it's what we've always done. We do it as a form of worship. Therefore, we ought to give Him our all. And when we pray, we ought to pray with our all. And when we give, we ought to give with our all. We ought to teach with our all. We ought to do everything we do with our all. When I preach, you know, I ought to preach with my all. Amen. We all ought to strive for that. Now, it's interesting if you look here. That shout and that serving and that singing, it really encompasses and embraces every area of the Christian life right there with those three elements. The shout embraces our verbal witness, making a joyful noise, letting it be known with our lips who and what we are. That serve lets it know with our testimony, letting it know with our actions and our communications and our lifestyle who and what we are. Making Him known through our shout. Making Him known through our serving. But then that singing, that worship, that makes Him known through our worship. What we worship. Three of the most necessary parts of thanksgiving and thanking the Lord. It's got to have that. And so we see the explanation. Number two, we see the exclamation. He says in verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. In the explanation, He tells us how to give God thanks. In the exclamation, He gives why we ought to give God thanks. See, it's the fourth imperative. There's three imperatives leading up to this. There's shout, there is serve, there is sing or come. The fourth one is know. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. See, our thanksgiving to God must be intelligent. In other words, you have to know something. You must know to whom we are thanking. You must know the God that we are thanking to be able to thank Him. See, Paul told the Greeks on Mars Hill, and those Greeks were much about learning. Greeks were all about wisdom and learning and knowing and intelligence and knowledge. And whenever he stood before those Greeks on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, verse 23, he said, "I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." And he said, "Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship?" He said, "Him I declare unto you." And he took off preaching. Paul stood on Mars Hill, and all those Greek statues and all those Greek gods that they had made all those statues for, they were all there, and they had one for the sun god and one for the moon god and one for this god and that god and every god. And just for in case there was one that they did not know, to have all their bases covered, they made one to the unknown God. Because lest they anger a God they didn't know, they went ahead and had one there and said, "Well, we'll just worship the unknown God too." And Paul said, "There is an unknown God, and that's the one I'm going to preach to you right now. Amen? I'm going to make Him known unto you, because there certainly is an unknown God, and I'm going to make Him known." Amen? Because listen, you've got to know God if you will thank Him and praise Him correctly. You can't rightly thank or worship a God who is unknown to you. You won't know why you should be thankful. That's why it's important to read your Bible. That's why it's important to go to church. That's why it's important to listen to preaching. That's why it's important to learn of Him. Because the more you learn of Him, the more thankful it will compel you to be. Because you know Him more. You won't even know why you should be. That's why people don't thank God. That's why they don't praise. They don't worship Him. Because they don't know Him. They don't know Him. So we ask the question, what is it about God that we should know? Well, verse 3 gives us two things, two answers. First of all, we must know Him as Creator. And these are not all inclusive, but these are just two general things He gives. He says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves." You must know Him first and foremost as Creator. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." He is the Creator and He is the Sustainer. And so it begs the question, what happens when we don't know God as Creator? Well, this is what happens. We imagine that we are our own Creator. Humanity will imagine that He is his own Creator. But you know, even as saved people and as church people, I wouldn't say that we would totally forget that He's Creator and latch on to evolution, but we can seem to kind of forget sometimes that it's Him who's in control and it's Him who is sustaining and it's Him that owns all of this. Amen? And we can kind of forget. And what we'll do, instead of maybe imagining that we're our own Creator, we will at the least have an inordinate admiration of our abilities and our achievements, when there is no ability except for God. And there is no achievement except what's given by God. Anything good from us, it comes from Him because He's the Creator. But then also we must know Him as Redeemer. He said we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. No one should be more thankful than the sheep that are cared for by the Good Shepherd. There's an exclamation. But then last of all, there's an invitation. Verse 4, he says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Now, we take the Bible literally, don't we? If we take the Bible literally, we take these verses literally too. It includes these verses. Psalm 34, verse 3, David said, "O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together." There's an invitation there to praise the Lord and to thank the Lord. In other words, he says, this is how you thank the Lord. And then he says, this is why you should thank the Lord. And then he says, won't you thank the Lord? Won't you thank the Lord? Won't you be thankful? Won't you praise? Won't you be grateful to Him?
I think I said it Sunday, it's a hallmark of the last days that within the church, men would be unthankful. That's it. Unthankful, unholy. And I believe that in that list he gave to Timothy of all the things that would make the last days perilous, we apply that to society a lot of times, and it certainly does apply, but I think more than society, I think he was talking about the church. That men would be unthankful and unholy. And God help us to not be unthankful. Because unthankful is so closely tied to unholy. And there's fewer greater sins in the Bible than being unthankful, ungrateful, because the Lord has certainly been good to us. And may God help us to praise Him and thank Him for all that He has done. Father, I come before Your throne of grace, and I thank You for Your Word, and I thank You for helping us with it, and I pray that You'll take it and use it, and help us all, Lord, to be grateful and thankful people. And Lord, I thank You for this time of year. Lord, I know it's something we go through every year, but Lord, I thank You for a nation that we live in, Lord, that would set aside a day for prayer and thanksgiving unto You. And Lord, I thank You for a time where we can, Lord, bring our thoughts and our hearts back to being thankful. And Lord, we're sorry that we're not thankful all the time like we should be. And Lord, I'm sorry that I'm not always thankful like I should be. And Lord, it's a shame. Well, we are ashamed at how unthankful we can be and how spoiled we can be because You have been so good to us. Everything good about us is You. And everything good we have is from You. And so, Lord, we just want to praise You and thank You for all You've done, all You're going to do. And Lord, I pray that You'd bless us this week and help us, Lord, as we go through the Thanksgiving season, Lord, to be ever mindful of how good You've been, how much we owe unto You, and help us to thank You and praise You in a way that'd be pleasing unto You, the way it's outlined in Your Word. And for all that You do, we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.